Welcome to Tango TV, everybody. This is Tango speaking, and today I will be interviewing Snakes. Say hi, Snakes.
Hey, everybody. Snakes here.
All right, so I guess we'll sort of be doing this back and forth, interviewing each other. So let's start with the basics.
All right.
So tell us a little bit about your history with mapping and when you started, when you had an interest, how long you've been playing Doom, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've been playing Doom since 1994, although there was like a good 10-year gap in the middle there where I completely forgot it existed. Just because, you know, I'm a kid growing up, I move on to other games as they come out. And
right.
I actually came across Doom at random at a friend's house. He had Final Doom installed on his computer, and I was running through there, and I was remembering everything, and then I came across all these maps that I'd never seen before, you know, like for TNT and Plutonia, and I was like, huh, well, that's kind of cool. I wonder what, you know, if that's just an easy thing to do for people, or if this was like something that it did, and
right.
Obviously it was kind of both.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and I started playing some custom mods. I started with Memento Mori specifically, and kind of moved on from there as, you know, things would go. And I decided that I really wanted to give it a whirl myself.
What year about was this, would you say?
I started playing WoDs in about 07. I started mapping in 2009.
Okay. So that's a pretty big gap between starting to play and starting to actually do things yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I tend to underestimate myself a lot. I'm definitely have like a crippling thing where I'm just like, oh, I could never do this.
Right. I know that feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of, for as much time as I spend on a computer, I'm kind of clueless when it comes to them. So, you know,
right,
I just thought, oh man, this is going to be a fine mess.
Well, I know with some people, they have this sort of drive to make things in games all along. Like some kids grow up building Legos, and then I know, like myself, I grew up playing things like Lode Runner, and I don't know if you've ever played Jetpack. But I'm sure a few people, I think Mechadon said that he started making maps for Jetpack at one point, but
check it out.
Right. So Doom was kind of your start to creation for games?
Yeah, actually, it's the only thing I do, really, with games in general. I play some modern games from time to time just to see what they're like. But I mean, when it comes to, you know, a broad depth and knowledge of gaming, I'm kind of just on the fringe. I don't know what about Doom it is, but I guess it's just easy, it's accessible, and it's free, so.
Right.
It's a solid combination to have.
It definitely is, and it's actually, I think it's very unfortunate that we don't have more people in the community, and that even the people we do have are kind of strung across multiple communities who all butt heads. We've got we've got Doom World and Z Daemon and Z Doom and Skulltag and
the Max.
I don't really know which one is the worst one, but I guess we shouldn't get into that.
Yeah, that's probably a loaded question.
Okay, so you started in 2009, and yeah. Earlier today I looked you up on the archive again, mm-hmm. and I downloaded 4maps.wad.
Oh, yeah.
Was that your first collection of maps? I think the text file made me think it was, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it is the, I made, like, I think a pair of maps right before that were mostly just me getting to know Doom Builder.
Right.
I couldn't use Doom Builder 2 at the time, so I was using Doom Builder 1. And
oh, wow. So Doom Builder 2 was already out by the time you started?
I think so, yeah, because I tried to run it, and I had this old laptop made in, like, 06 or something, and it was just not going to work on that. So I downloaded Doom Builder 1, and I just wanted to get a feel for how, you know, mapping worked, just how the mechanics went and everything. And but those were – they're unspeakable. I won't get into that. But yeah, those were my first serious attempts at mapping. And you can really see it shows a lot, specifically because one of the maps, the very first map in the WoD, was Z-Doom in Hexen format. And I just wanted to see if what that was like. And
I noticed that because I was playing. And I didn't look at the text file. I assumed it was just limit removing or boom or whatever.
Right.
But then there's just I think it was the only point in the entire WoD where it gives away that it's for Z-Doom.
Yeah.
In map one, the red key is just sitting on this tiny sloped mound. And that's it.
Yeah, that's
such that a typical first wad.
Yeah, very first wad right there. I've come quite a long way, I hope.
But, yeah, I would say so. It's definitely much better than some first wads I've seen, I think.
That might have to do with the fact that I made those other two maps just, like, experimenting first. I think that really, if I had put those out, then it would have just been, like, Doom Jr.'s size shame.
Right. Well, I know a lot of people start out, they start out making things when they're very young, and, I mean, this was the case with me. I was in sixth grade when I started, so I was a stupid little kid. So, my first attempts look very different than your first attempts, because, I mean, yours were at least very clean and sensible, but some people are just all over the fucking place with...
Yeah, where you have, like, random mid-textures that don't make sense.
Right, or their first map is Wolfenstein with fire blue plastered everywhere.
Yeah. I definitely... The very first map I made was sort of like that, so...
Yeah.
I mean, well, I just... When I... You know, because I'd been playing mods so long, I was like, I never want to show this to anyone. So my attitude was, as long as I can maintain a perception that I can at least make a half-decent attempt at a map,
right,
I should be okay.
Well, it's definitely interesting when I looked at these first maps of yours, there are definitely some similarities between those and what you're making now. I noticed, I mean, this is not by any means a bad thing, but I noticed that you tend to have, like, I guess a lot of maps are like this, so it's not,
yeah,
it's not that unique, but you've got a large room, generally, and that,
yeah,
you connect them with a bunch of little hallways, so it's just a collection of large rooms and hallways in between.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is.
You seem to really like that, especially playing your Megawatt. I played half of your Megawatt the other day, and it's, you really like these huge open rooms.
In, yeah,
every map.
I just like the idea that you can be attacked from any angle, and large set pieces like that are really,
right,
easy to make entertaining. And I figure if that's a strength of mine, I have to pursue it and,
definitely,
do what works. You know, that's always the first rule for anyone. Just do what works. I've tried emulating other styles before, and it's just, like, awful. And I mean, it might not suck, but I certainly think it does, and thus I won't ever show anyone it. And, yeah.
Well, on that note, at least when I played some of your earlier stuff, I definitely got a slight Eric Alm vibe from them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very small and bite-sized, very simple. Mm-hmm. So who are some of your bigger inspirations when you met?
Definitely Eric Alm, for starters. I mean, Scythe was... I still maintain it's the best WoT I've played. I don't
first,
know. I mean, it's not the prettiest. Yeah, the first one.
Okay.
It's not the prettiest. It's not, you know, the biggest. It doesn't try to do anything special. But it just captured, I don't know, the idea of gameplay so perfectly to me, where it's nonlinear. And,
right.
I mean, the last episode gets kind of out of hand at times, but even then, it's still entertaining. I mean, map 26 is absurd, of course, but it is what it is. Yeah, Eric Alm, I think a mapper who really influenced me, especially during after four maps I made Into Hell.
Right,
the little three map
I played
thing.
Some of that, too.
Yeah, and that was definitely Requiem map 6, which I believe is Thomas Muller's map, where it's like this big abstract gray structure in the middle and the tech labs all around, and the player kept cycling back into the main room.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that definitely... I think that might be where I got the idea of making a large set piece and then building around it, sort of.
Right.
Was from him. And then I played another map of his for Memento Mori 2, which was the most intense thing. I think it was map 22, but I can't say for sure.
Okay.
But it was really just... It was a very large map and completely nonlinear, and yet everything just clicked and you always knew where you were going. And I thought, well, that's important. You should give the players options.
Right.
But they should always be able to tell where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they want to get from point A to point B, they should know how to get there, but they should also know that there's several ways to get there where they don't get lost and wandering. Let's see here. Those are probably the two main influences. Matthias Warch. I mean, a lot of early mappers. Adam Windsor, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's another one who does kind of smaller maps a lot, and I just like that really violent style that he produces consistently. So
that's interesting that your bigger inspirations are from older mappers, because it Eric Almost definitely one of my biggest influences. He is and always will be, I think. Yeah, it's such an easy style.
I mean, he had a way to make simple things seem much more complex to me.
Right. Personally,
it was straightforward, but it was also completely not in a way.
Yeah, it's very easy to emulate, which is why I've done it so much. Especially some of my earlier things could be confused as a shitty Eric Alm map.
Yeah.
But
I
definitely been an inspiration for just about all of us, I think.
I guess if I had to go with current mappers, probably the two, and I say this because they're probably the two who are most like me in their style, is Joshy and Skillsaw. A lot of Skillsaw. One of my Unholy Realm maps was basically like, I'm just going to make a water map like that one from Vanguard.
Oh, I I saw that. You even had the same music and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that one.
I just love that. He just is so clean. It blows my mind. I think Joshy and Skillsaw are cleaner versions of me, kind of.
Well, I think Skillsaw to me is kind of like Eric Alm 2.0.
Mm.
He's got a very similar sort of style, but he just takes it to the next level in terms of visuals, at least.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that 100%. And I think one of the things about Eric Alm I noticed is he tends to use rectangles a lot.
Yes,
he does. I mean, you wouldn't think it, but once you just open them up in Doom Builder and kind of give them a once over, it's just like, he kind of uses rectangles. I never realized that before.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
he disguises it a little bit with his 45 degree angles in the corners, but
right, exactly.
Otherwise it really is.
I see you use those a lot.
Yeah,
but Skillsaw kind of avoids doing that, and I guess in a way he evolves his Eric Alm style to the next level in a way.
Right.
Not that better necessarily,
but just different.
But it's just evolved.
Yeah. Yeah, I've come to appreciate a lot more in the recent years, people deviating from standard shapes and from rectangles and from just the grid. There was a point in my mapping career where I was looking at Green War 2 a lot, not Green War 2, just the first one by Hellbent.
Oh, yeah.
And because I don't think he used a grid whatsoever when he made that. And it's really not just a matter of using the grid or not using the grid, because when you don't use the grid, you're really not confining yourself to all these standard shapes that everyone uses.
Right.
So something like that I've been trying to incorporate a lot more into my style recently. And I noticed even your Back to Saturn X map had a lot of irregular shapes, and it seemed to deviate a bit from your early style.
Yeah, well, the thing about the style I've kind of developed more recently is that when you look at it in terms of just pure basic, I definitely am sticking to the grid, and it's almost always a 45-degree angle.
Right.
And I just try to make sure I can do something asymmetric with it. Because, you know, seeing the same thing over and over again, there's only so many ways you can mask a rectangle or an octagon. I definitely, when I'm making a megawatt, that's something I don't want people to start saying, wow, he just keeps using that same thing. Which I notice in a couple of watts these days. I'm not going to name names or anything.
Yeah, but don't point fingers.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's something I consciously try to avoid. It really is. I don't want to trap myself. And even the latest map I made, and I haven't mapped in a while, I actually started mapping today at random, so that's what I'm saying. But the most recent map I made was map 28 for Unholy Realm with my Megawad, and one of the things I did in it that I tried to do was make sure I didn't just use a flat sky. That's just something I've always had trouble with.
Keep going.
Okay, I mean, like, where the entire sky is the same height, so all the buildings are the same height, and
right.
you can't really work around that. I consciously tried to make certain buildings taller than another one. So every time I see something in a WoW that I really like, I try to somehow incorporate it into my own style and work from there. Uh-huh. And that's just kind of, my style's been the same for a while, but it's still changing quite constantly.
Right.
I
can say the same. I think one person who I've gotten inspiration from, not just on that, with the varying heights with the mm-hmm. sky, but with just about everything, is Essel, because he takes all of these elements and combines it together in just about every single map he makes. I know a lot of his 32 and 24 maps all have, they've got like the fake 3D effects with mid textures and varying sky heights. He definitely pushes people, I think.
He does. He really is. My back to center, you were saying how it was just sort of kind of different than what I normally did at the time. That's basically because he kept giving me input as I went along. I'd show him a random screenshot and he'd be like, "You need more of this." And he'd be like, "Okay, I'll try it out." And
I know that.
At times it can get frustrating. I mean, I love Essel.
Yeah.
But like at certain times I'm just like, "Do you really have to go that far, man?" And again, Essel, I don't mean to imply that you're, a dictator or anything like that. It's just like, you're just so, I don't know, I don't want to say ahead of me, but I guess you kind of are.
I think
it's just so, he says something and I'm like, I didn't even think about that. Why didn't I do that? How does he just do that? So it definitely, it pushes you to the next level for sure.
Yep. He's always done the same thing to me.
I think, the person who actually pointed out my sky problem was, I believe it was Iori. He said it in the image thread when I posted that, a picture of one of my Unholy Realms maps. He's like, "You think you can mess with the sky a little bit?" And I was like, "Why didn't I ever think about that?" So, yeah.
I think it's especially, that sort of thing is especially important, in outdoor scenes with rocks and canyons, because otherwise it looks really goofy nowadays to have, five different buildings not connected to each other and then a bunch of different cliffs all at the same height.
Yeah, it really is kind of, I opened up, some of my old maps and I'm just like, thank God I didn't try to do that then, because it would have looked terrible.
Well, I mean, that's also part of the process. Every time you try to incorporate something new, it's gonna really, be really shitty the first time, but mm-hmm. You get used to it.
I think one thing that's noticeable, I kind of went backwards in a way, was for the earlier maps of Unholy Realms. Most of them, I think, a lot of people played the demo by now.
Right.
Is that, like I was saying earlier, how it's important to give the player options and multiple ways to get to a certain point. And a lot of the early maps are actually just straight shots. I mean, they come back and circle around, but they're still very linear in terms of types of progression you can make in a map.
Right.
And you can just see, I think it was map 10, which is probably one of my favorite maps I've made. But like, you can just consciously see, I tried to make as many connections to different rooms as possible.
Right.
Because I realized, man, I can't keep doing this. It gets boring. So even in terms of linearity and non-linearity, I'm still always trying to make a change somehow.
I noticed, I also noticed from playing Unholy Realms that, well, the early maps in particular, 1 through 5 or thereabouts, seem really influenced by Scythe and maybe even Agent Spork's simplicity. Map 1 definitely gave me a simplicity vibe.
You know, it's the funniest thing. I played Simplicity pretty recently, actually. I hadn't played it yet, and when I played it, I was just like, God, I feel like I made this map. It was just so similar. It blew my mind.
Oh, yeah, it really, I definitely,
So I was kind of influenced by Spork without even realizing it, I guess.
But it seemed like, the first half of the Megawatt or so is, the difficulty comes from confining the player, and I will also add that you really like screwing the player over with traps, and that's been true in everything, but Even more so in your recent stuff.
I think I had more trap bonanzas in the early parts of Unholy Realms. I've actually, for the most part, Unholy Realms has been mapped in order. I kind of jumped from that after a while, but the early maps are definitely trap heavy.
Yeah.
And that's something else that I've tried to kind of drift away from. That's why you see in the middle, like I've made the second episode almost like the courtyard episode where it's just one big battle.
Yeah, I noticed that. It opens up and everything becomes more, the maps become more of like a village rather than a little base with hallways and rooms connected to each other.
Mm-hmm. That's something, you know, there are so many variables in maps. It's just, how can I stick to one style for too long and not get bored with it? And people were telling me it's a little too trappy for me, they were saying, and I was like, well, I'll just go the opposite route then. Just make one big map where the traps happen every so often.
Yeah, it didn't seem quite as trap heavy later on, but the early maps, there's a lot of it. I mean, which is not a bad thing by any means. I personally didn't mind it, but
I was still in a very experimental stage at the beginning. It's still definitely my style, but for me, there are things I noticed in the early maps that probably no one else would ever notice, where I'm just like, man, can't believe I tried that. It's a really weird idea.
Well, I think in the thread where you released the demo, I think it was 40 Ounce that said, he commented on the traps, but he said that the style of traps was very smart. So there were smart traps, which I can definitely agree with. They're not.
Yeah, not I don't even know. There. I don't even know how that works. I don't know what a smart trap is.
Just accept it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try to change it, I guess, if that's the case. I guess one of the things about that is, I don't know. I've played so many maps. You know, I played for 2 years without doing anything else. I started to notice these sort of standard traps, so to speak, where, you know, a door pops open or something like that, and it happens, and it catches you off guard at the time, but you're like, well, I've seen this before. And I guess consciously at some point I was like, I want to keep changing the trap. I want to keep the player on their toes so that it happens when they don't expect it.
Right.
And like map 5, I think it was, where there's that 30-second door where the player's being attacked outside and inside the room at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that might have been the first trap I made where I was like, okay, I really like that. That works for me. Looks awful in demos, but it works for me.
Well, map 5 was actually one of my favorites. There's a section in there where you've got this beautiful scene with bricks and vines, and I think
that was actually one of the questions I wrote down for you is what's with your unhealthy obsession with vines? Because I feel like I've seen so many maps of yours by now that's just like, man, this guy loves vines.
I do. I'm not really sure when it started. I think with Scythe 2, actually, I got to the later episodes, or the last episode, second to last, particularly map 22. I think it's got like Starbox adventure music or whatever it is. All those maps, though, they were just like, I mean, they were very green, obviously. It was a very simple color scheme. There's blue water, green walls, red sky. But it's just always been particularly appealing to me. And I've really always wanted to make something that awesome and viney myself. So I've been trying for a long time.
One of your Back to Saturn X maps, I think it was, I can't remember which one, like Tough Snake River, whatever we're calling it these days. And
the first one?
Yeah.
The large one.
The large one, that's a good way to put it. The large map. I noticed, like, when I was playing through it, I was like, man, he just uses these vines really well. Like, there are moments where you see vines pop up at kind of random, and you're like, what is a vine doing there? But yours are always in logical places where it just adds another layer of beauty.
Well, thank you.
So,
a lot of times I forget about my obsession with vines, and I'll be working on an area, and I'm like, how can I make this area better? And then I remember vines, and I get really excited with plastering everything with vines. I did that in my second Back to Saturn X map. I was working on an area, and it was covered in bricks, and I was like, I need to do something to this, make it look better.
Yeah.
So I made a custom vine texture and covered everything in vines, but it actually looked pretty shitty, so I had to edit those out, unfortunately. Can't have vines everywhere.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I think another mapper is definitely Joshy. He's a vine fiend.
Yeah, he definitely is. Especially his, I think it's going to be a secret map where the poison ivies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Vines everywhere.
The continuing poison ivy series.
Yeah.
Each one's harder than the last.
Somehow. Well, since we're talking about Back to Saturn X, maybe you could shed some light on how you came to work on the project in the first place. I'm sure the process is probably very similar for just about all of us.
Yeah, but I had no idea that the project existed. And one day, I noticed, like, it was the first time he ever said anything to me directly on the forum. He was like, right. I was playing your demo for Unholy Realms, and, you know, I really enjoyed it. And then, like, 2 days later, I guess he finished playing it. And he sent me a PM saying, you know, hey, we got this crazy project we're working on where all the resources are new and it's for vanilla. And
right.
How would you like to join up? And I was thinking, okay.
Who could say no to that?
I mean, the funny thing is, at the time, I was very intimidated to join the project.
Right.
Because I looked at the names attached, you know, you have Vader, Essel. And all those great mappers. Yeah, and I was just like, what is he asking me for? He's got such a great team already. I'm just going to make it look like shit. But I can't be intimidated to the point of not joining because those textures were just irresistible.
Too good to pass up.
Definitely.
Well,
obviously, I like the palette a lot, too.
Yeah, I noticed. Your map is incredibly blue. And
yeah.
I think in your first post about the map, you mentioned that you got some inspiration from, was it Twilight Princess's Water Temple?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Funny. On that note, do you usually draw inspiration from, generally, where do you draw your inspiration from? Just game-related or other games or structures in real life?
I don't even know where I draw inspiration. It comes from all kinds of places. I think a lot of the time, most of my inspiration obviously comes from other WoTs.
Right.
You can just see certain moments in certain maps where I'm just like emulating a map from Scythe 2 or something like that. Obviously, I mentioned the Skill Saw-inspired map earlier.
Right.
But beyond that, if I'm mapping right before I go to sleep, I will have a moment where I'm like dreaming, and it's definitely a Doom map I'm seeing. And I'll wake up and I'm like, I gotta do that. I just have to do that. And it happens every so often. It's not a common experience, but that's one of the things I get. And it can't be as abstract as it was in the dream, unfortunately. But
yeah, I know the feeling.
But for the most part, my inspiration for a map is I open up Doom Builder and just start throwing shit around until it kind of starts to make sense.
All right. Are you very big on speed mapping, setting limits, time limits for yourself, and then seeing how far you get, or you just kind of sit there and...
You know, I've never actually made a speed map.
Oh, really?
But I'm very impatient. So, I mean, I'll have a map I'm building, and then after a while, I'm going to start kind of looking at it and being like, well, there are lots of ways I can expand on this, but god damn, I'm sick of this map. So,
yeah.
It's not really... I don't set limits on myself, but it almost... I'm lucky in that I can build out a pretty good map in a short amount of time.
Right.
But it's usually more like 3 days or something like that.
And, well, I mean, that's still a lot better than what some people can do.
Yeah, but I mean, I never have a set limit, so.
Right. Okay. Well,
there are definitely some maps that have bucked that trend. Jesus.
Well, what about your Back to Saturn X map? How long did that one take you?
That one, I think it was 2 weeks, I can't say for sure.
That's not bad at all.
Well, yeah. I had a pretty easy theme to work on once I started kind of going.
Yeah.
It's very easy to work around a single color.
I guess when your entire theme is blue, it's not that hard to pick textures.
Okay, I'm just going to make blue, and I'm sure somebody will tell me how to fix my monotony.
Well,
I had good ideas from the start, but of course, Essel came and checked me and was like, no.
Yeah, I don't
these are random and I don't like them.
I don't think there's anyone in the project that hasn't experienced that.
Yeah.
I mean, which is good though, because it definitely ups the quality. And there have been a lot of times over the past few years where I've shown him something and he's like, that looks great. And then after he says that, I know to wait, you know, for 60 seconds for him to type out this long message about what to do in the corner of this screenshot,
yeah,
and then here in this screenshot. But it's good. It definitely pushes us. And
definitely.
Honestly, without him, I don't know where my mapping would be right now. I mean, wouldn't be that bad, but he really does push people, and he's helped
a
lot.
Yeah.
Shout-outs to Essel.
I don't, you know, definitely that map turned out way better than it probably would have, just from his comments. So.
Right.
Well, but I'm looking at the form. Yeah, it was 8 days I finished that map, actually. So a little bit quicker than I thought.
It's a pretty good-sized map.
Part of that stems from the fact that I was in college during this time? Or, no, I was unemployed. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
No wonder.
Yeah, I had a lot of time to map. And like, obviously, I have I'm working now and I have such little time to map that I have to make a map quick or else my projects will never get released.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the unfortunate thing. I know it's like that for a lot of people. It's just a hobby.
Yeah.
So make do with what time you get.
Yeah, that's why when I see a guy like Skillsoul who can crank out Vanguard in like 2 months or something, I'm just like, you suck, dude.
Be like, oh, I had a day off, so I'm just going to make an entire map in the next 2 hours.
I believe the first interview, Mechadon's name came up.
Yes, it did. It did.
Like, I drew out this layout for one of his Back to Saturn X maps, and I looked at the layout, I was like, well, that's a decent-sized map, and then I played, I was like, oh, this is a huge map. Okay.
Yeah, he's one of those people, he really knows how to capitalize on what time he's got to actually work on something, because I would maybe go so far as to even say that he is the fastest mapper in the community right now, in relation to quality, at least.
Yeah, that's probably true. I certainly don't know how he does it.
Well, at this point, I have the only questions I got for you, aside from mine, were from Alfonso.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I'll go ahead and ask you some of those.
All right, come on.
His first question, with Unholy Realms having such a lengthy development period, have you ever found yourself becoming dissatisfied with some of your earlier attempts at mapping for the project? Are you pleased with how you've evolved as a mapper in the last couple of years?
That's going to be one blanket yes. I looked at some of the earlier maps I made for that project. Yeah, and it goes back 2.5 years or so at this point. I'm just like, this is no good.
Considering your relatively short career as a mapper, 2.5 years is a pretty big time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually at a point right now where I just want to finish it so badly. I'm sick of the project. It started off as a very personal, very exciting thing to do, but 2.5 years later, I'm just like, what was I thinking? This was a dumb idea. And when I go back and I play those earlier maps, I'm like, well, no wonder I could map so quickly back then.
Right. Well, you're almost done.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
I mean, I say I'm almost done, and it's true. I have the majority of the mapping done,
right. But
I haven't been mapping lately, so it's been a really big slog, kind of. Just, you know, I mean, it keeps getting stretched out. I thought I would have it out by my birthday this year, which is August 27th, and then that came and went, and
right. Obviously
not out. And I originally thought it would be finished way sooner than that, so. Yeah, that gets annoying.
I mean, how many maps do you have done right now? You've got 20s, right?
25 or 26. I can't say for sure.
For 2.5 years, though, that's a pretty considerable amount. I don't know if I've made that many maps in the last 2.5 years. Not finished ones, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've also, you know, I've thrown a map here, a map there for other projects, obviously.
Right, so that's even more.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I haven't been mapping. It's just megawatts take so much time, it feels like you're not mapping after a while because you don't have anything released.
Right.
Which I think is part of the reason why I agreed to join back to Saturn X. I mean, I was going to join it regardless, but at the time I was just like, I just don't want to make a map for Unholy Realms right now. I can't do it. And, yeah, it's time to move on from that, at least for
a little bit.
And it definitely helped me because after I did that, I just could go back to it. And I was like, oh, hey, I can just do what I want and not have somebody telling me what to fix constantly and feel completely pathetic. But, no, I mean, I think it's important to take a break from a long project. I mean, taking a break can be dangerous because there are some people who they take a break and they never get back to it. But I think just in terms of mental relaxation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Will, moving on, Alfonso also says, one of your earlier works, Into Hell, cites Scythe and Hell Revealed as inspirations in design. And some of your more recent works, like Midnight Tech Frenzy, adopt a similar sort of approach to gameplay as well. Is this the sort of style you aim for with most of your creations?
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I haven't... Like you said, I've been mapping an incredibly short time, so I've only really been... And most of that time has been dedicated to one single project.
Right.
And I don't want to stray from the formula too much while I'm working on something like that. Because I want at least some sense of, you know... What's the word I'm looking for? Unification, I guess. I'm not sure if that's right, but consistency, so to speak. And when I stop working on this, maybe I'll start kind of changing my style a little bit, trying to do something else. But I think I'm always going to incorporate. I mean, I'm always trying to. My main goal when I make a map is always just make sure it can be fun.
Right.
That's literally the extent. I mean, I'm a very simple mapper. You know, as we mentioned, Eric Holm had kind of a simple style, and I guess I emulated him because it was so simple, and like I said, I'm a very impatient person when it comes to stuff like this, that I thought, well, if I keep it simple, then I can actually do stuff for this. I have a project plan that's going to be more atmospheric, and I almost never go down an atmospheric or abstract route,
right.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, that's the thing that sucks about having a project that takes so long is, especially in a point where your style is changing so much or has so much potential to change.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating when you can't change something, you can't do something different just for the sake of consistency.
Right.
So, I've never really had any successes making a megawatt myself. Always wanted to, but I
don't do it. We're on very far, very fast from that idea.
Yeah, that's why it was so nice to join Back to Saturn X, because the thing about releasing your own megawatt is you have something in your name that's just you.
Yeah.
But I think being part of such an incredibly talented team is just as rewarding.
No, definitely. And in some ways more so, just in terms of what you can draw from them, commenting on what you're doing. We already talked about Essel a lot, but the other guys are all
incredible.
Yeah, they toss their ideas out there, and they're always, compared to yourself, they're always going to be really unique and make you think about something differently. So,
right.
I think a lot of the reasons I got sick of Unholy Realms was because, you know, they were just, I got so much advice on that project that I was like, I just kind of want to move on at some point.
Kind of want to start over, do something new.
Yep. So it goes. But yeah, I guess that's about that.
All right. Well, Alfonso also asks.
Another one.
Yeah, he's got a few. He's also got two more Home Alone references. Not really questions. They're just lines from Home Alone. But his other question is, the Secret Santa mapping project sounds like a lot of fun to make. Do you think it will be just as entertaining to play through for members of the community as it will be to create it?
I'm not sure. That's a tough one. I think it would be more entertaining for mappers. for sure.
Right.
In terms of people who just play and don't map, I think it's going to be just as entertaining as it would be normally, because the thing is, it's still, you're still playing Doom.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the authors are emulating a different style, but for the most part, I think everyone on the team knows how to make a map fun, and when they try to imitate someone else's style, they can pick up on little things they do that way. And I don't know if the project itself is going to be as entertaining, so to speak, but I think it will help make future projects more entertaining just because of diffusion.
Right.
I think it's a fun project to work on. It's also kind of frustrating, but I mean, it's very frustrating when you're trying to imitate someone else's style. I mentioned that earlier. But.
It really is. I'm working on map one of... Actually, any time I've tried to make a map with Essel, and he'll make half of it and then hand it off to me,
yeah,
I just kind of... I give up very quickly because it's so hard for me to do what he does. Not just because it's different, but also because everything he makes is so high quality.
Yeah.
And I'll just want to, like, close the map and do my own shit that doesn't have that standard of quality attached to it.
Right. I know I have... like one map I've been collaborating with two other people on, I think Deathification and Valkyrie Force. And it's actually, I have the latest version I'm supposed to expand on, but I've also been, I've had to do that for like months now. And part of that is because I've just had trouble mapping lately in general. But another part is like, they'll add things where I'm just like, I don't know what to do with this. This is so not me, guys.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, but
working from there is a real pain. But I mean, when you make it work, it's beautiful.
It's really satisfying when you can get it.
Yeah.
Get it to be consistent with someone else's work.
But, I mean, I've never tried to collaborate with someone until this. I mean, I finished someone else's map for Doom 2 Unleashed, Captain Toenail, and.
Yeah. Was that 27?
25.
25. That's it.
Yeah, it's Escape from the. It's the Spirit World one.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I play it, and it's kind of obvious where he ends and I begin, but I think part of the reason I was able to finish that so easily was, well, he only started it. Like,
right.
And it was pretty, it was just a very small layout when I got it. I was just like, I'll just build around it and see what happens. And but whenever I get something and I build it and I send it back and then they build something else and they send it back to me, I was like, this is not what I was intending at all. Why are you doing something different than what I would do?
Yeah, that's the difficulty working with people.
It's the point, but at the same time, it's so frustrating.
Yeah. If you could get, like, maybe someone like Skillsaw and Eric Alm to collaborate, I think something like that would go very well, just because their styles are so similar.
Right.
I
know Joshy had a map he started for Back to Saturn X, but it never got finished, and I thought about just kind of following up on what he had there and making it complete, but it never came to be. I forget why I didn't do that.
Right.
I think when I looked at that, I was like, well, this is a lot more natural for me to work from, just because we have a similar style.
Yeah. Yeah, there are definitely a lot of mappers that, I mean, all the high-profile mappers definitely have their own style, but you can see similarities between everyone, except for Essel is just like, if you threw everyone else in a pot, you get Essel, because he has the best of everything, really.
I simmer for about 45 minutes, yeah. You get a wonderfully delicious product. He has that, I don't know, he's definitely one of a kind, that guy.
He really is. And not only does he make maps, I mean, he does everything.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
The fact that he made, I don't know how many thousands of textures for Back to Saturn X. And he does music, and he's doing music for Back to Saturn X. Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible artist. I'll say that much.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that working with Back to Saturn X textures, once you work with them long enough, if you try and go back to the stock Doom 2 textures, or really any other texture pack, like Community Chest 4 textures or any of the other typical ones.
Yeah.
It's really hard because Back to Saturn X has every variant in every color of every size of every texture that you could ever want anywhere. Yeah.
It's just so raw.
he spoiled us.
Yeah. I don't know what to do anymore. Just wait for the damn thing to get released and use the resource mod or something.
Yeah, I would really like to do my own little side project with Back to Saturn X textures. I've even started a few little snippets of like deathmatch maps with Back to Saturn X textures, which I think could go really well. I'd like to see a good, solid Back to Saturn X deathmatch.
So. That would be, yeah, that would be intense, I think. It's so good for surreal settings, you know.
Right. You can do a lot with those textures.
Yeah, definitely.
I am kind of dreading the day when everyone's going to start. Well, I mean, I'm just guessing that you're going to get all these new mappers and odd mappers using the textures in really, really bad ways and butchering it. So that's kind of unfortunate. But for the time being, I mean, they're awesome textures. And
yeah. I mean, we haven't seen an overabundance of, I guess, UAC Ultra, but then again, that's also kind of more true. Unified texture set, right. Not so broad.
Yeah. Back to Saturn X has everything.
I think that's probably why Community Chest 4 is such a popular texture pack. It just has everything you could basically want to do.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll probably get overused.
Someday, whenever we release it, that is.
Long story short, texture pack, cool. Good job, Essel.
It was really exciting when, you know, like last year or even earlier than that, when he was still developing the textures and you'd be making a map and then he'd post an update like, oh, here's 500 more textures for you using your map. And then you'd be like, oh, this is awesome. But then you have to go back and kind of reapply everything.
He added like a single texture to the pack, I think, just the other day or today or something. Yeah, it was like an alternate computer texture, and you're just like, damn it, Essel. Stop it.
He keeps doing that. He, at one point, we didn't have any key door markers.
Oh,
we didn't have any textures. So we had to go back and add some of those to older maps. I don't know if that's actually been done yet or if we're going to do that. But
again, I just lucked out with my theme, I guess. I don't have to make too many dramatic changes for that.
Can just leave everything blue.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, let me see what other questions we've... Oh! This one gets asked a lot, but I feel like it says a lot about your mapping style and sort of your mindset in mapping. TNT or Plutonia?
Plutonia.
Plutonia. Okay. Yeah. Is it even close?
Not really. No. And I'll tell you what, it's said a lot, and it's true. If TNT, if you paired it down to like 20 maps or something like that,
right,
we could have a real good discussion as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there are some maps in TNT that I play all the time just because, you know, something about them. I think one of the weird things, I think some of my favorite maps are my favorite maps because of the music.
I think
bizarrely enough,
some people really underestimate how much an effect that can have. I guess, well...
I mentioned it earlier, but, I mean, music choice is probably one of the most important. Like, it's subtle, but it's a very important thing for a lot, if you ask me.
Right.
Because, I mean, and the way I always explain this to people is, play UAC Ultra without the music.
Right.
Just go back to the regular soundtrack. Completely sucks. There's no atmosphere at all of a sudden. So,
I think
music can really enhance a map for me.
It can. I don't get the people that are able to... They either put on their own music when they play maps, or they play with their own music all the time.
I tried it once.
Yeah, I've tried it too, especially...
It just felt dirty. Like,
I was playing Deathmatch, and I tried it once, and it just felt so... It was so boring. So
yeah.
Focus, because I'm thinking about there not being music the entire time. But I guess some people like it that way.
Yeah. I know some demoers actually just turn off music so they can hear the sounds around them. And I tried that once, and I was like, well, this isn't helping. I'm still getting destroyed. But, I mean, from TNT, I guess specific, I want to go into specifics. There's Map 6 is a good map that was made great to me by the music.
Right.
It's very, it's just clean looking. It's straightforward. Let's see here. Map 15 is like the ugliest map I've ever seen in my life. But it just plays so perfectly in my mind. That's definitely one of my favorite maps from the project. Which one of the things about Platonia, and it, you know, it's like it said, it's just consistent, and frankly, you can just, I think for my style, tell that I like the gameplay a lot.
Right.
I have a sick obsession with Archviles.
Well, I get the idea that in general, mappers seem to prefer Plutonia, whereas if anything, the players seem to prefer TNT. I don't know how true that actually is, because you know, I haven't done any statistics or anything.
Yeah.
But it seems to be that way.
I could see that. I'm not, yeah, like I said, we'd have to like take a poll or something like that, but
right. Well, I mean, from a design standpoint at least, Plutonia is just much more satisfying, I think. Or maybe maybe some people think that saying that is very elitist and asshole-ish of me. But.
I think there are some mappers I can think of who, if I had to guess, I would say they prefer TNT for sure.
Yeah, no, I can think of a handful as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, it definitely is not without its positives.
No, I mean,
map design is varied a lot. I think some of their maps do a lot better job of emulating atmosphere, but God, I get to that. The second episode is tolerable for me. The third episode, I just can't do it. There are some maps. I know one of the maps was intended for episode one, just from the sky they used when they were making it.
Yeah.
And it really is at some point just obvious to me that something, they didn't get enough maps or something went wrong. They had to rush the product. I think something like that had to have happened.
Yeah. I noticed somebody on Doomworld made a thread the other day about, it's 22, right? Habitat in TNT?
Yeah.
They asked why everyone hates Habitat so much.
Yeah.
And it's maps like that.
Yeah.
When people ask Plutonia or TNT, I'm like, just look at TNT Habitat.
Habitat. It's such a bad map. I can't believe it.
It's really... it's so...
I mean, I don't even know what it is that I hate about it. But, I mean, it's just terribly... The layout's awful. It shoots all over the place.
And it's really pretty, though, at least.
Yeah, the halls... those tunnels do look nice.
The huge open grass marble courtyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, there's that random spot where the barons just, like, teleport for no particular reason. It's, like, a huge area, and there's, like, three barons attacking. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, doesn't need to be that big.
And that's not even getting to the fact that it's kind of buggy. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it was more like Map 13, for example...
Uh-huh.
Then I might prefer TNT. But no, just Habitat. That's all you need to say.
It really is, though. It's that bad. I think, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the progress on TNT 2 lately, but it's looking a lot more promising than TNT, at least.
Yeah. I've kept a little bit of a track of it. I mean, early on, one of the mappers... just, you know, let me play some of his maps. I think it was Kaika, I can't say for sure. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, I don't know either, but...
And his map that imitated kind of went down the route of Mill. Map 18, I think it was just like, it was phenomenal to me. That's a guy who never puts out anything, and yet I think he's a great mapper. I can't figure that out.
Yeah, I I haven't... I mean, I'm signed up for a map, and I'm making a map, and I'm... Oh, I'm really pushing the deadline, because I think the deadline is next week. And my map is, I guess it's pretty close to being done. But I haven't gotten the chance to play anyone else's maps on the project. But some of the screenshots are really, really attractive. So.
Okay, you know what? We're at like an hour now. We're getting close, I think.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything new yet.
Oops.
We kind of completely glossed over that part. So, I don't know. I guess I wrote down a couple questions. I mean, nobody PMs me these things. It's Tango TV, not Snakes something or other.
Well, I didn't really get any questions anyway, so.
Yeah. And I mentioned, I told you ahead of time that I was going to ask you about this, but
right.
one of your early maps I played in preparation for this was Twisted Dimension.
Yep.
And that's definitely a project more like Void for Z-Doom, where you try to take a character away from the typical Doom setting and put them in something more abstract and atmospheric. And I was just wondering, at what point was that what you were intending to do when you first started mapping, was make stuff more like that? Or did you just sort of naturally evolve to your more modern style? I don't know. I haven't played many of your maps outside of Boom and obviously back to Saturn X, but
right.
It seems like you went a totally totally different direction.
I did. Twisted Dimension was just sort of a phase. In the beginning, I was more interested in arena type gameplay, just because I've always, you know, in other games I've always liked that, where
yeah.
player just has to survive or defeat waves to move on. And so that map was actually, it started out as a collection of like 10 different rooms, and you had
right.
one fight in each room, and then you had to kill all the monsters to go on. And then and then I played Void, and I played Agents Force. I don't know if you played this. Temple of Chaos 2?
I think I have.
And it's...
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That was... During that time, though, I was really obsessed with Spork's mapping style.
yeah, I noticed.
Some of my earlier stuff around that time, which didn't get released on the archives, is very... It's just a blatant ripoff of Spork, essentially, because... That was a period where I thought that was really the only good way that you could go. But looking back on it now, I mean, Spork is a great mapper, and
yeah.
his latest stuff with Ultimate Simplicity is definitely a huge improvement. But looking back, some of that earlier stuff, it's so generic and boring and orthogonal.
Yeah.
Such a little height variation. And
that is... I mean, and I was going to point that out about Twisted Dimension, was it was actually very flat and linear, which is a completely opposite of what you do now.
Right. And at the time, I thought Twisted Dimension was the greatest thing ever. I thought it was going to be, you know, like, the best thing I ever made. And, and then I released it, and everyone was hating on it. so after that, I took a... completely different direction. I stopped trying to do that style of thing.
Yeah. That might have been at the loudest point of the community.
Yeah.
there were more people and they said more things.
Well, actually, there was this guy that I found on Skulltag when I used to play Skulltag, and that was around this time, I think. And his name was Big Ducks. Not Big Dicks, but Ducks.
Yeah,
he was a total asshole. Of course, I was a little.
Naturally.
I was still in like middle school at the time,
so
no.
I was
a little punk, but he was just a huge troll, essentially. And I think he did this to other mappers too, but for some reason he targeted me as a vulnerable little kid somehow. Mm-hmm. Found that out, I guess, and he would follow me into Skulltag servers just to harass me about my maps being shit. And I don't know, do you know who Domram is?
I can't say that I do.
Okay, he retired. He mysteriously disappeared because he was frustrated with the online community and he wanted to get a life or something like that. But I sort of mapped alongside him because we were at similar points in our skill level. And
yeah.
We were similar ages and we talked on IRC all the time. But apparently Big Ducks targeted Domram as well. So I'm guessing we weren't the only ones, but he was a huge asshole, and if you're listening to Big Ducks, then fuck you, because you were...
finally getting your vengeance, I guess?
Finally.
Vindication?
As I was saying, though, I don't remember if... Did you play Redemption 2 in the last few days at all?
Redemption 2. No, I haven't. Okay. That was one I kind of skipped over.
I mean, you're not really missing much, but... Yeah, after Twisted Dimension, I just took a turn for the better, and I tried to change things up, because obviously what I was doing was not working.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as you mentioned, Twisted Dimension is really, really flat. It really, aside from the stupid lava, insta-death lava pits, everything...
Oh, God. Sorry.
Same plane.
Forgot about those.
Yeah. So, to any new mappers listening, don't do that. Especially, I mean, obviously, height variation on the floor is really important because that's what affects gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really important not to neglect the ceiling.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my early flaws.
Yeah, it's so common that people just don't do anything to the ceiling. Especially, I don't want to go into detail about this.
Oh,
someone like
seems like we're going into a kind of a rant here.
Yeah. I'll end this in just a second, but Tormentor, for as much experience as he has mapping, and as many years as he's been doing it, and as clean as he tries to have his style, he's one of those people where I just don't understand why he completely neglects the ability to actually do something on the ceiling. I don't know how familiar you are with his stuff, but, like, what was it?
I think, well, I'd say as much as the next person, which is quite a lot.
Okay.
I think at some point we all kind of stumble across some past Tormentor drama, and you just have to figure out what it is.
Yeah, so things like that are really crucial to avoid, I think, because it makes such a huge difference when you actually do something with the ceiling, and you've got... I mean, I like just having these huge arching structures.
Yeah, I noticed that. I actually wrote that down. It was going to be a question.
Yeah, something like that was a great way to just break up the ceiling. And like I said, if there's any new mappers listening, don't fall into the flat ceiling style, because it's really going to hurt you.
Yeah, the route I usually go with that one is to add skylights.
Right, those are just as good.
They're simple, but they're effective.
Definitely. Break up the ceiling.
Yeah, and one thing about Twisted Dimension, and this is a seg, is that it's for ZU. And I noticed something. When I looked at it, I realized you had done maps for ZDoom. You were working on Vaporware, I believe.
Yeah, well...
For Eternity, right? What?
Right. Well... Past Twisted Dimension, I sort of tried to stay away from ZDoom, because just like everyone else, I've had a ZDoom phase where I thought it was the greatest thing, and I would not use any of his features aside from slopes and scripts to spawn monsters. But after that, I tried to stay away from... Tried to just go back to Boom format.
Yeah.
So with Vaporware, I haven't actually really done much. I had a speed map that was for vanilla originally, and then Essel approached me about Vaporware in the same sort of way he approached me about Back to Saturn X. And I tried to touch up the map to make it, you know, with portals and make it fancy looking. But beyond that, I really haven't done much experimenting for Vaporware. Because it's actually really intimidating to add a whole new dimension to mapping when you have portals at your disposal.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, from shifting points, was there anything you kind of took from that or learned that you could use when you're mapping for, say, going from, you know, Eternity to Boom or something like that? Is there something that you can keep in mind between changing from one port to the next?
Well, I mean, like I said, my experience with Eternity and portals is rather limited. I mean, I've done some experimenting.
Right.
But even just doing those experiments definitely made a big difference in, as I was just talking about, ceilings. And the potential with portals to open things up and make things that much more connected has made me strive for that a little bit more in just my Boom or vanilla stuff. So, you know, even though I didn't really get much done for Vaporware, it was really good to have that experimentation over with before I started working on Back to Center Next.
Right. I mean, what would you, I mean, obviously I think Eternity is maybe the most overlooked port today.
Yeah, it really is.
And I was just, I wanted to ask you this. It's just, is it an accessible port to work with? I mean, is it easy to integrate, you know, go from, you know, Boom to Eternity?
With portals, at least, portals are really extremely easy. You just have to line up a few lines and a few line tags, and that's really it. So, I mean, you can learn portals in an hour or less, probably much less, actually. So it's, yeah, going between the two is very easy, and it is unfortunate that people aren't mapping for Eternity as much, myself included, but maybe after Back to Saturn X is done, start working on that, working on Vaporware.
Right.
But yeah, it's... The difference between going from Boom to Z-Doom is not as extreme as Boom to Eternity.
All right. I got maybe a couple more here that I wrote down. Let me find one of them I haven't asked yet.
Okay.
Let's see, where? I know I had. Oh, yeah. One thing I also noticed was you mentioned earlier deathmatch wads and stuff like that.
And
I know you've worked on a few 32 and 24s. I'm not sure beyond that what your experience is, but I mean, would you say that working on a deathmatch wad is does it have a positive influence on any way on going back and working on a single player map after that?
I think working on deathmatch maps and getting familiar with how those should work is probably one of the best things you can do to help your layout creation for any sort of map, which includes single player maps. Actually, 32 and 24s have really been my only good multiplayer experience, but it's really helped a lot. And in some ways, I kind of got lucky. I think it was 32 and 24 4, the first Capture the Flag one. I made a map, and I had spent part of the day working on the map, and then I left, and then I came back to finish it right before the deadline. And I realized I didn't have enough time for myself to do what I wanted to with the map. So I just kind of tied up the loose ends and put it all together. And now, apparently, it's one of the most played Capture the Flag maps in the International Doom League and the like. So I got very lucky there. I really didn't know what I was doing when I made that map. But, you know, going back and looking at it now, I can see that it's definitely successful. And on that note, Mechadon's maps are really just huge deathmatch maps with monsters in them.
That's probably a good way to describe them as any, yeah.
I know he was really involved in some Skulltag community packs, the Instagib packs, when he was more involved in the Skulltag community. And it really shows when he makes maps that he's very accustomed with deathmatch and Capture the Flag maps, because everything is so well connected and it's very organic. And for anyone that struggles with coming up with interesting layouts that are very well connected, making a deathmatch map, it, like I said, is one of the best things you can do for that.
Yeah. I only made one deathmatch map, and it's a lot like my single player maps. There's just one big freaking arena, but it wasn't even making a deathmatch map, but I found, I think, on some forum, maybe Skulltag forums, it was Deathzor, who made like a guide on how to make a deathmatch map strong.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I saw just a lot of similarities to what I think would make a single player map strong. And I thought maybe working on a deathmatch squad would help me grow as a mapper, and obviously the result was made in an hour and it was crap, but I think if I ever get stuck on a project like this ever again, I might just go and do some deathmatch maps just to get my brain working.
Yeah, it's a really good exercise. And even, you know, sometimes I'll be working on a map and I'll get stumped and I'll look at Scythe 2 or Alien Vendetta or something like that. But what's just as good and sometimes even better is opening up like a Capture the Flag map from the ZDM Impact or Ultimate CTF has some really good maps, I think. I like them a lot. Looking at those, though, it's really easy to get ideas for how to make things really well connected.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're stumped, go make some deathmatch maps, because they really do help. And if you can get to the point where you can make some solid deathmatch maps and people actually play them, then that's a very good sign for your single-player maps.
All right. My only, you know, we kind of brushed on other things I had planned to discuss with you. Like, one of the things I wrote down was, what type of movements would you like to see for the community in the near future?
Oh. I think one thing that's certainly needs to be explored more is doing really fancy, in-depth projects with things like ZDoom or Eternity. Because, it's really easy to just go, oh, well, you know, ZDoom's got all these features that can do X and Y, and I want to just stick to Boom and make something awesome with those limitations. Right. But with the amount of talent that we have in this community, it's really a shame that we haven't had as many incredible, you know, TCs as we could. Because I mean, you can do so much more with these engines than you can with vanilla. And as great as it is mapping for vanilla, if we could get all this talent to focus their efforts on something a little bit more advanced, we could create something pretty special. So I think if the community, it would be nice to see the community working on more things like that. I know the ZDoom community is more involved in stuff like that and altering gameplay.
Right.
But for what I consider the community's best mappers, which is, that's, to me, like all the guys working on Back to Saturn X.
Right.
If we could see that crew working on something a little bit more advanced, we could get something very memorable.
If that crew were working on Vaporware.
Right, which I guess most of it is, or some of it is.
Some of it, I mean, most people who have been working with us are longer, I guess.
Right. I don't know if you've seen, I don't know if they've been shown on public forums, but Vader is one of the few people that's made a completed map for Vaporware, and it's a really incredible, I think he made his own textures for it too. This temple with multiple stories and portals and a cave linked to it, and bridges. So yeah, if we could get more people working on stuff like that, that would be really awesome.
I mean, the one reason, I mean, I don't even think I would have ever used ZDoom for any maps, let alone like the tiny amount that I used it for my first map. But I mean, I just wouldn't have been interested in ZDoom projects if I hadn't played Void, plain and simple. It was just so, it took the game and just altered it in such a dramatic and interesting way that I thought,
right,
I don't, you know, this is an avenue that should be explored more often. And I think and there's a couple other ones like that. I think Focus Island 2.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything by, I can't never remember the order, isn't it? The guy who made Nuts. I don't know the order of his initials. BPRD, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. Yeah, he, some of his stuff was just so bizarre and out there, and it just wouldn't have been possible without the ZDoom engine.
Right.
And, of course, the Eternity engine.
There's a sort of stigma attached to ZDoom, especially on Doomworld, but
yeah,
that's just because it's so underused by people who actually are capable of pushing it.
Yeah, it's almost like an inverse relationship between amount of experience mapping and total amount of time using ZDoom. It's really weird.
It's very unfortunate, actually.
Yeah. It seems like the people who have been doing it, you know, mapping longer have just, you know, they moved away. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because of all the new people who made maps for ZDoom, and they were just like, I don't understand how anyone could make a good map with this port. Look at these. But I would like to see both, definitely Eternity, because it's almost non-existent at this point in terms of projects made specifically for Eternity, but both Eternity and ZDoom get used more often. And this is coming from a guy who, I mean, for a while there, I was probably, I wouldn't say I was ever a purist in, you know, or anything, but I definitely have preferred Boom to, you know, other source ports simply because I was just such a fan of the classic gameplay. But, you know, one day you just kind of sit there and I realize that, you know, I'm kind of making myself blind to this whole entire part of the community. And
why do that? You know?
Yeah.
When, I mean, a good example was Valhalla. I mean, it's a very basic WAD, but I mean, in terms of it's very Doom-like by Ed.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
But at the same time, a lot of that just isn't possible. But
the standard engines.
The standard engines, and I just think that's a route that should be explored by, you know, definitely more experienced people more often.
I think Ed is one of the few people I've seen who has made maps that are maps for Zedum that are especially attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, Ed's very talented. I don't know if you've played the original Sin City.
Yeah, bits and, like, just a bit of it. I don't remember it that well, unfortunately.
I mean, it's one of those maps that actually really doesn't need Zedum, to be honest, aside from the slopes, because the slopes look awesome in that.
Yeah.
But especially with the latest screenshots he's been showing of his like Quake 2-esque project for Z,
oh, yeah,
for GZ Doom. Yeah. If only more people were doing what he was doing.
Right. I think it would be there'd be a lot less. I think a lot of flame wars would go away. I think, and no offense to the guy, I'm not out for anyone's head or anything, but I think a lot of problem with that kind of stems from Tormentor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. Yeah. I mean, he, you know, Realm 667 is, at this point, almost like, it's one of the most popular sites for resources and
yeah,
tips and advice. And on one hand, there's stuff you can take away from that. On the other hand, it also kind of, it doesn't necessarily encourage a unique approach, I think.
I think, yeah, I've always felt that way about it. You can take some stuff away from it, but if you follow it too religiously, you're
screwing
yourself up.
Obviously, there was the 32 and 24, I think it was 11?
Uh-huh.
Where Essel kind of did the Torm map or whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah.
That was, right. It was,
yeah, it was an example of what not to take away, I guess. it still played decently, but at the same time, it was just like, boy, this is... He's very clearly not doing what he normally does.
Very goofy.
But yeah, no, I think Torm has a lot of good ideas,
uh-huh,
but I think somehow they always get lost in the process.